Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. Our lives, our voices. I'm Eric Jansen. This week, a novel twist on queers in sports. My guests this week are the creator and the director of Killer Queen, the story of Paco the Pink Pounder, a gay boxer. Now, hold on, dear listeners. I admit I rolled my eyes a bit when I first heard that title, but I was intrigued when I learned that, first of all, Killer Queen is loaded with songs from Queen, one of my favorite 1970s and 80s rock bands, and that there's serious content about homophobia in sports, racism in the gay community, and much more in this music-driven play set to Queen and Jimmy Somerville music, some of which you'll hear in just a few moments. With me in our studio are Peter Griggs, who wrote, acts in, dances, and sings in Killer Queen, and director Wolfgang Wachowski. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to start right off with a song, Peter Griggs as Paco.
You're leaving the morning with everything you own in a little black case, alone on the platform on a sad and lonely face. Run away. Mother will never understand why you had to leave, but the answers you seek will never be found at home. No, no. No, the love that you need will never be found at home. Cry, boy, cry. Run away.
That's Peter Griggs singing Jimmy Somerville's Small Town Boy as Paco in Killer Queen, the story of Paco the Pink Pounder, playing this weekend and next Thursday through Sunday at Michael the Boxer Gym and Barbershop in San Francisco. Peter Griggs, what in Small Town Boy speaks to you?
There's a bunch of things. I think it was one of the first gay anthems that was actually, like, very honest about it, what it was talking about, and Jimmy Somerville wrote it. It's probably one of the only out pop musicians, and he never wavered from that. He was always very outspoken about how he was gay, and I think Bronski Beat, the project, and the band wrote a lot of songs that had to do with being gay. And so... with this song, this song is placed in the show when Paco decides to leave home because he's having problems with his father and just living at home and school and everything else. He decides to venture out.
And where is Paco living?
Paco's living, you want a place?
Yeah, if there is a place. I mean, you said he's left his town. If there, maybe there is no particular place.
Well, I purposely didn't, like, add towns.
Okay.
Because it could be anywhere.
He lives in a small town.
And it is anywhere.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, let's just talk a little bit about why you wrote this play, Killer Queen. What was the inspiration and drive behind it?
I looked around and I saw the way gay men of color, gay men, effeminate men were portrayed in the media, in the theater, in movies. And I was really unhappy with that. And I said, there is no effeminate gay hero. I mean, what's up with that? And I was like, let's create one. And let's challenge, put a challenge in front of yourself, Peter, and look at how gay sports, some gay sports are really very masculine, uber masculine. And there was two sports in particular that I looked at, hockey and boxing. And I was like, well, boxing's kind of interesting. why don't I check that out? And I started researching, and I realized that there's never been an out gay boxer, professional gay boxer ever. And I thought, oh my God, that would be amazing to like have an out gay boxer who's really kind of effeminate outside the ring, and maybe even a little inside the ring, be like...
inside the ring, too, absolutely.
Okay.
This is Wolfgang speaking up here, folks.
Yeah.
So what... But you told me when I dropped by your rehearsal last week, you mentioned that there had been a gay boxer, or at least the historians believe that he may have been gay, or suspect for some reason that he was gay in the 50s or 60s, and he actually won a lot of titles.
His name is Emil Griffith, and he won 5... belt titles, world championship titles. He came out and then went back in and came out. But all the people that have turned up out to be gay in professional boxing have come out after their career has already ended.
Which is similar to NFL players and baseball players.
Correct.
Absolutely.
So this is basically a fantasy. If in the 80s, the way we were going politically, the push that the gay community had in the 80s, if AIDS hadn't clobbered us, would it have been possible for someone like Paco to excel at boxing? I mean, where would we be?
And there's also the element of the fantasy in terms of the support that he gets within the boxing ring.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this character of the coach, and the coach is definitely... in some ways just accepts him. He doesn't care whether he's gay or not. He's just like, if you want to box, you're here to box, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think Paco draws a lot of strength from that. And to have this sort of character within this very homophobic space of boxing, I think is also one of those tenets of fantasy.
Mm-hmm. And is that part of the reason you actually set this? First of all, this play was staged a couple years ago originally, and it was in a sort of a more standard theater setting. But this time around, it's actually in a boxing gym.
Mm-hmm.
So people are going to go see this play at Michael the Boxer Barbershop. No, wait, Michael the Boxer Gym and Barbershop.
There we go.
In San Francisco, which only has about 30 seats, but it's in a ring. I mean, it's actually, you are in a boxing ring.
Correct.
And it's a solo show, by the way. So it's just you on stage in the ring with seats around, and you're kind of in one corner of the ring, and the audience is in
the other corner.
Yeah. So we're like your opponent. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's the point. I mean, okay. it's a very obvious point, but it's also like the Paco has a very, on one hand, is loves the people. So the way that we approach it is that the audience is a class that's coming in and is being taught by Paco.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, Paco both loves the audience and is like, has things to say to the audience,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And speaking of the supportive coach that Paco had, now, Peter, you told me at rehearsal that Michael Nello, who owns Michael the Boxer Gym and Barbershop, that he was the same thing. He was very supportive to you when you decided to take up boxing. Is that right? Did I understand you right?
That's correct. I had started writing this screenplay for, it wasn't called Killer Queen at the time, but about 8 years ago. And I had drawn up this character. You know, it was total fantasy of this character of a coach who was just totally supportive of this little kid that he saw knock somebody out in his gym. And he took him under his wing, and he just didn't care that he was an effeminate boy. That didn't matter to him at all. He just saw that this guy had potential. This child had potential. And Mike was the same way when I came in. I said, I want a box. And he was like, okay. I said, well, I'm gay. Is that going to be a problem?
And he's like, did
you
say it like that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. you know, just trying to be as impish as I could.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I don't care. I don't care what you do. But if you're serious about boxing, I'll teach you.
Okay. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
And now he has, and you partly all through this production of this play, and with all the anti-gay bullying that's gone on and got headlines in all over the country in the past year or so, this is also being used as a sort of a way to get queer youth boxing is being used as a way to get queer youth more self-confidence and train them boxing and train them self-defense. Is that right?
That's correct. Michael Onello of Michael the Boxer Gym and Barbershop.
And there really is a barber chair, by the way, folks.
There is a barber chair. Mm-hmm. Good shave and haircut there. Probably one of the best in town. So Michael and a man named Stephen Mealy decided that they were going to start an organization called the Empowerment Center for Youth. They found a place in L.A. To do this with, and so they've been working on that, and they asked for my help, and so we've been working on that, trying to put that together. And Michael has been building different ways of teaching people to empower them, their self-confidence, and also through their diet and their health. He really believes strongly that boxing can help a lot mm-hmm. with these kids. Not that necessarily to teach them how to fight, but just so that they know that if they have to, they can protect themselves. Mm-hmm. Just knowing that gives you a sense of confidence.
And I would imagine a sense of walking around in the world in a way that you are less likely to be victimized because you don't carry yourself as someone who can be picked on.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
Now you have another song that you're prepared to sing from the show, a little bit of, yeah. Since you just had that coffee and that honey and hot water.
Sure.
Okay, and this is you take my breath away, right? And this is
correct.
A Queen song. Now most of the songs are Queen songs. They're more Queen songs than Jimmy Somerville. Is it kind of an equal?
Yes.
Mix? Okay.
There's more Queen songs.
All right. So you're ready?
Mm-hmm.
You take my breath away.
And you will see that I'm the only one. You've captured my love, stolen my heart, changed my life. Every time you make a move, you destroy my mind, and the way you touch, I lose control and shiver deep inside. You take my breath away. You can reduce me to tears with a single sigh. Every breath that you take, any sound that you make, is a whisper in my ear. I could give up all my life for just one kiss. I would surely die if you dismiss me from your love. You take my breath away. So please don't go. Don't leave me here all by myself. I get ever so lonely from time to time. And I will find you anywhere you go. I'll be right behind you, right until the ends of the earth. I'll get no sleep till I find you and tell you. You take my breath away.
Wow, that was beautiful. Thank you so much for you know, singing right on the spot in the studio, not with your usual accompaniment. It must be more difficult to do this here than it is in the actual...
Terrifying, Eric. Terrifying. I hope people come see the show after that.
You're listening to Out in the Bay, Gay Radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests are Peter Griggs, writer, actor, and singer, and Wolfgang Wachalowski, director of Killer Queen, the story of Paco the Pink Pounder. It's playing in San Francisco tonight through May 8th before moving to L.A. for a three-weekend run there. It's a music-driven coming-of-age show about a gay boxer. So, Wolfgang, have I been pronouncing your last name close enough to correct?
It's close enough, yeah.
Okay, tell me the real way.
It's Wachalowski.
Wachalowski.
Oh, boy.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, yeah, you didn't tell me that the other day. So I noticed when I was in the rehearsal space the other day that written on the wall of Michael the Boxer Gym and Barbershop behind the ring, and this is an approximate quote, I don't remember exactly, but boxing is a form of self-expression like any martial art or other work of art. At its simplest, the boxer boxes as the painter paints. Is that your, you know? How do you feel about that quote on the wall of Michael's?
Well, there are lots of quotes of Michael's in the show, actually. And that one, yeah, I think that he has a very interesting way of looking at life. And yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's something about him and his way of approaching, because after the first time we directed this, I directed the show and collaborated with Peter. I started boxing it with Peter at the gym because I was like, we talked about doing it again, and I was like, well, I should probably learn how to do this mm-hmm. so that I understand what's going on. And you know, there's something about those quotes. They're like reminders. You know, mm-hmm. like reminders of like. I need to remind, because I go, you know, it's like taking a note about something and, or like tattooing yourself or something, you know, like, and it's just there permanently, and it's a constant reminder of like, I need to remind myself about this idea or about this idea. Yeah. So to really keep the realness of what you're doing present.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, tell me about the challenges of having this play be used. Like, it's going to be at the Empowerment Center in West Hollywood, which mm-hmm. this gym was specifically constructed to, is that right? This Empowerment Center was specifically created to help gay kids, queer youth in general sort of
correct.
Learn about boxing and learn about self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me the other day, you know, I think if someone's listened this far into the interview, they're probably going to go see the show anyway, or they're also not going to go see it, so we can spoil the ending. So he kills somebody at the end. Paco actually kills somebody at the end of the play. I don't know who it is because I haven't seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But and you expressed some concern that that might not be, you know, PC or something like that.
Hmm.
What's your feeling about how that's going to be received at a place that's, you know,
I think it's what can happen if you hide something away in a pressure cooker and you just, if you don't let any air out of it, it's going to explode. And I think this is one of the paths that it can go. I think people can end up in jails, institutions, or dead, you know, if they don't deal with their anger and aggression properly, if they don't deal with their ghosts in their closet. In the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that even though that there are really great lessons in Killer Queen, it's also a warning. It's a warning that says never underestimate your opponent,
mm-hmm.
you know, because in doing so you underestimate yourself. But it's also like you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what someone's been through. I mean, you might just push a button with that person and they're going to go off on you. You never know.
Right, right.
So,
and similarly, you might do something that sets yourself off.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. Wolfgang, what are your, tell me about some of your challenges directing Killer Queen. I mean, how's it been?
Well, let me tell you, Peter, you have to step out of the room real quick.
I'm leaving.
Or your joys, if you prefer.
No, it's the challenges are great. I mean, it's one of the things is I'm I've I've been, most of the shows I've directed up until this point have been larger shows. And so this was the first time I ever approached a one-man show. And that provided a whole slew of challenges because it wasn't about creating these stage pictures or these fantastical moments. You know, it was really about focusing on this one person and really help and really talking with this person through the different ways of like approaching a text, and particularly because Peter wrote it and performed it. The relationship that we had was a one of director to a writer and director to a performer, and those are two separate, two different relationships, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And especially the first time we did this, there was a lot of challenges in that, in figuring out how to talk to each other, one on as a director to a writer and one as director to a performer. I think that was the biggest challenge. This time around, though, I think we've got it down.
Because mm-hmm.
since then, we did the show, and then we did another project together, and now we're doing this show. So we just have the language down mm-hmm. on how to work with each other.
Okay, okay. Now, you mentioned, you know, part of this deals with being gay in a macho environment. You also mentioned that, and it's in your press material, that part of this is also about being a person of color in the gay world. How does that enter into the play?
I think that, well, Paco spent so much of his young life in the ring that he didn't, when he finally does come out into the community, the gay community, he has a similar experience that a lot of people have, which is it can be welcoming in sort of a seedy way, or it can be really disappointing
mm-hmm.
Because of, like, who you have to try to be to get respect or find love. So I think, you know, that he just faces a lot of challenges. And so that's how I brought that into the show. For instance, he goes out to a gay bar and he's like, "Hi." And they're like, "Don't go there." And he's like, "Okay." And then he's trying to go up and talk to people and they're responding with things like, "I'm only into white and Latin guys," or "I'm only into Asians." And he like goes through this huge list and he gets really frustrated. So, or like butch. I mean, everybody wants butch or they want a certain thing. And it's just all so confusing for him. And that's how I brought it into the show. And we talk about that and we talk about preferences and how that continues to kind of break the community apart.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the storyline, like kind of who Paco is? How old is he when he starts boxing, and how much of his life are we looking at when we see this play?
We see him at about 6 years old, and then we see him at about 9 years old. So from six to the present, and he's probably at the present probably in his early 30s. Yeah.
And it takes place in terms of time all the way from the 70s through now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. So we're seeing him now, today, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. in the 1980s yeah. when most of the music is from.
Right.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay. And now let's, Wolfgang, tell us a little about Off-Center Productions. This is an Off-Center production?
It is an Off-Center production. The Off-Center is a artist collective that came out of... It started in July when Mama Calizo's Voice Factory was going through some difficulty and was closing. And a big group of us got together and were like, we want to save Mama Calizo's. It's been such an important venue for queer artists to do work and to experiment and to be able to experiment in a safe space. And through, you know, things just kept on happening and the space closed anyways. And we ended up... putting together a small group that was we're like, we want to continue doing what was happening at Mama Calizo's, which is queer performance and really supporting and incubating queer performance. And that's where we are now, almost 8 months, 9 months later.
So it's still very new.
It's still very new, okay. And we currently just collaborated with the Magic Theater on the Lily's Revenge, mm-hmm. and working with them. We are working with YBCA, and we're working with a new conservatory. So we are really in a lot of different areas, and it's really about, we're very artist focused. So it's really about giving space for the artists to do the work that they need to do. And, that's the off center.
One more thing I want to forget before I forget is that you mentioned that you're trying to get boxing reinstated into the gay games as an official sport of the gay games, right? And is that now you're laughing.
It's true. It's easier said than done.
Do you know why it was taken out in the first place? You said in the first two, way back when, 82 was the first one, 82, 84, I don't remember. Mm. The first two gay games, which were actually held here in San Francisco, much smaller thing, boxing was one of the sports.
Yes.
And now it's not.
Right.
Do you know why it was dropped? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I've heard a couple rumors that there was some insurance issues, lack of interest. What I was told is that the Federation of Gay Games likes to have a total package if you're going to offer a sport into the gay games. Mm-hmm. So that means, like, everything. It means referees. It means, like, where it's going to be at, everything. And probably there wasn't enough support.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I want to thank my guests, actor, playwright, dancer. Yeah, I didn't mention that. You dance a lot in this thing, too, at least a little bit I saw in rehearsal. I'm looking forward mm-hmm. to that. Mm-hmm. And singer, Peter Griggs, and director, Wolfgang Lancelot
Wachlowski.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I always go like this.
That's perfect. Their production, Killer Queen, the story of Paco the Pink Pounder, can be seen now through Sunday, May 8th at Michael the Boxer Gym and Barbershop in San Francisco, and in West Hollywood, May 20th through June 5th at the Empowerment Center Boxing Gym on Santa Monica Boulevard. If you want more information, you can find it online at theoffcenter.org. That's theoffcenter.org. That's kind of it. It's time for me to, like, read those closing credits. So thank you very much for being here. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, queer radio from San Francisco, independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We bring you conversations and guests you're not likely to hear on most mainstream programs. We love Terry Gross, but I don't think she's going to be having a segment soon on Killer Queen, the story of Paco the Pink Pounder. We hope you appreciate that and that you'll help keep Out on the Bay going strong for another 6.5 years. Please consider a tax-deductible contribution at our website, outinthebay.com. While you're there, you can hear past shows whenever you want, sign up for free weekly podcasts, and get Out on the Bay on your mobile phone. That's right, take us with you with Stitcher, the application that lets you download radio programs to smartphones and other mobile devices. It's free. Learn more at stitcher.com. There's also a link on our website, outinthebay.com. We thank KALW for studio time and Debbie Kennedy for engineering this week's show. Thanks this week also to Ralph Door Consulting for computer help. Ralph Door Consulting. Experience solutions in information technology computers. RalphDoorConsulting.com. That's Ralph, D-O-O-R-E, consulting.com. If your business would like to help support Out in the Bay and receive on-air thanks heard by thousands of listeners weekly, see the sponsors page on our website, outinthebay.com. Call me at the phone number there or write to me, eric@outinthebay.com. We'd love to hear from you, so write to us, marilyn@outinthebay.com and eric@outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen, and I am out of here.
On the next Jora Call, it's...